Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout the Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
As we move from September to October, as the leaves change from green to brown to gold and yellow and red, I welcome you to this broadcast of the Word of Grace. My name is Nigel Parker, Minister of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, Sherbrooke. We're delighted to bring this broadcast to you on CJMQ Radio, and we would also be delighted to welcome you to in-person worship at 10:30 on Sunday mornings. That's at our building at 256 Rue Queen Street in Lennoxville, Sherbrooke. You can also follow our live stream on Facebook and YouTube. Psalm 84 is written by one who welcomes autumn. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Turn to God in prayer. Gracious and loving Lord, thank you for the seasons we can count on, find routine in, and that will never cease while the earth remains. As we enter into autumn, when the cooler winds drift in and the days grow shorter, draw us closer to you. Let us feel your warm and loving presence. May we imagine ourselves in your embrace, close to your heart, surrounded by your light, and find comfort in your faithful consistency when the world around us seems to be constantly changing. Thank you for your loving kindness that engulfs us and your light that drives the darkness away. We praise you for what we know of you through your Son, Jesus Christ, for being a God who loves us and takes care of us, wins our hearts and draws us closer to you, out of the darkness into your light, out of our waywardness into the wonder of worship. We're grateful that you are with us in all circumstances and seasons. We come before you all too aware of our smallness and our brokenness, all too aware that our insecurities, our selfish thoughts and our secret desires are an open book to you. Our words and actions have injured others. Our silence and inaction have injured others. God of mercy, forgive us and renew us. Help us to live in each moment and in every circumstance lives of generosity and peace. Thank you for your promises and the hope we have in your return. No matter what we face here, we know that you have prepared a place for all who trust in you. Help us to be patient now and patient for your return. We praise you, O God, for your goodness and love. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We have reached Psalm 129 in our series of reflections on the Psalms of Ascents. As we're just about to hear, it's an uncomfortable psalm to many of our ears, the kind of psalm that perhaps ought not to be in the Bible or not in our prayer lives. What do you think? Psalm 129. They have greatly oppressed me from my youth. Let Israel say, they have greatly oppressed me from my youth, but they have not gained the victory over me. Ploughmen have ploughed my back and made their furrows long, but the Lord is righteous. He has cut me free from the cords of the wicked. May all who hate Zion be turned back in shame. May they be like grass on the roof, which withers before it can grow. A reaper cannot fill his hands with it, nor one who gathers fill his arms. May those who pass by not say to them, the blessing of the Lord be on you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. Amen. If you're a marathon runner, or you do a physically active sport, then you may be familiar with the idea of hitting the wall. You'll be pleased to know that it doesn't mean running blindly into a vertical concrete partition or some such, but rather to reach a point when you are running, exercising, playing sports, whatever, where you are so physically tired you feel you cannot continue. Your legs simultaneously feel like they're made of jelly, yet also weigh 8 tons each. Every step is an absolute triumph of will, and you start to seriously doubt that the race even has a finish line. Usually happens to marathon runners around the 18 to 20 mile mark, and is the result of insufficient fueling. I think I'll stick to my curling rather than marathon running. This psalm, Psalm 129, is about a person who feels that in faith terms they have hit the wall. They've been going through pain, enduring difficulty, and they just can't take it anymore. We all face pain in this life, but the question is, how will you face the pain when it comes? Will you overcome it, or will it overcome you? Psalm 129 is about persevering through the pain and gaining the victory over those things that stand against you. Life is a struggle. It's a continuing battle, and it takes perseverance to go the distance, even to get through the wall.
things through Christ who gives me strength. And sometimes I wonder what he can do through me. No great success to show, no glory on my own. Yet in my weakness he is there to let me know. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can carry on. Raised in his power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect.
Look at verses 1 to 4 with me. They have greatly oppressed me from my youth. Let Israel say, they have greatly oppressed me from my youth, but they have not gained the victory over me. Ploughmen have ploughed my back and made their furrows long, but the Lord is righteous. He has cut me free from the cords of the wicked. Now the specific situation that the psalmist addresses here is that of oppression and persecution. But whether it's persecution or illness or relational pain or emotional distress, with faith in God, we can persevere through the pain. The Apostle Paul writes to New Testament believers, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to humankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." So here's our first thought for today. You can suffer pain without suffering defeat. You can persevere. The psalmist recalls the long years of suffering Israel has experienced, stretching back even to their early days as a nation. for the history of Israel was one conflict after another. The story of Israel reminded them to keep on keeping on. And that can be transferred to our personal sphere. Israel was born in suffering. The psalm deliberately takes Israel back to what experience? To the experience of Egypt. Where was it Israel had felt the cruel stripes of the oppressor on her back? It was the lashes of slave masters in Egypt. And the psalmist says, go back and remember the persecution, remember the oppression, remember the abuse, remember the persecution, and sing about it. Remember it, but remember you overcame it. Our Jesus-centered faith has the same story. In 1 Peter chapter 2 we read, if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but you have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. You can suffer pain without suffering defeat. We sometimes think if we're hurting, that means we've lost. But that's not true. You can be down but not out. You can persevere through the pain. And the second half of the psalm is all about praying through the pain. Persevering through the pain, praying through the pain. And indeed, praying through the pain is one of the most important ways you can persevere through the pain. The first part of the psalm was about the survival of the righteous. The righteous will endure, but the wicked will not last. Look at verses 5 to 8. May all who hate Zion be turned back in shame. May they be like grass on the roof, which withers before it can grow. With it the reaper cannot fill his hands, nor the one who gathers fills his arms. May those who pass by not say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. Many people struggle with these verses because they seem to support praying against people rather than for people. Aren't we supposed to love our enemies? Is it okay that we pray against them like this? Well, these are a special type of prayer that we find in the Bible called imprecations, which means a spoken curse. Now, of course, we're more sophisticated and well-mannered in our society, especially in religious circles, and we can try and blank out the psalms of cursing. But isn't that what we do with our own rage? We deny it, we bury it under a layer of politeness. Do these psalms not just describe us in the wild, in the raw, when our natural fears break out? That word natural may be a key. Psalms like this are the natural outcome of injustice. The natural result of cheating someone or keeping them down or neglecting them is to arouse resentment. Their hatred is a reaction to something. Such hatreds are the kind of thing that cruelty and injustice by sort of a natural law produce. But they're also a reaction of a people who believe in a greater goodness and a higher love. A person of faith and value and belief knows just how wrong something is compared with someone who just goes with the flow. They feel the righteous anger all the more. How do we pray? Well, the psalmist prays for persecutors to be turned back in shame. Verse 5, may all who hate Zion be turned back in shame. And we've seen earlier in these psalms that Zion is the place where God meets with his people. And to reject Zion is to reject God's people, for God dwells in the midst of his people. And to reject God's people is to reject God himself. It's a prayer that God would act towards the blessing and protection of his own people. Not that God's people would rise up in militant anger, but that God would show himself strong for his people. Secondly, pray for the wicked to be stopped in their tracks. Prayer that there would be a restraint of evil. Verses 6 and 7. May they be like grass on the roof which withers before it can grow. With it the reaper cannot fill his hands, nor the one who gathers fill his arms. The psalmist rests on God's ordering and restraint of evil, that God may overcome evil with his own goodness. And thirdly, Pray for discernment and recognition of evil. Look at verse 8. May those who pass by not say, "The blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord." That was a standard blessing during harvest time in Israel, where you would greet each other with blessings from the Lord. But here the prayer is that we would not bless that which God has called wrong or sinful. It's a prayer for a discernment and recognition of evil, including in our own hearts. Search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way within me. John Calvin says of this psalm, "This psalm teaches in the first place that God subjects his people, the church, to various troubles and afflictions to the end that he may better prove himself her defender and deliverer. The psalmist therefore recalls to the memory of the faithful how sadly God's people have been persecuted in all ages and how wonderfully they have been preserved in order by such examples to fortify their hope in reference to the future. In the second part, under the form of an imprecation, he shows that the divine vengeance is ready to fall on all the ungodly who, without cause, distress the people of God." Another commentator says, "Whereas most nations tend to look back on what they have achieved, Israel reflects here on what she has survived. It could be a disheartening exercise, for Zion still has its ill wishes. But the singers take courage from the past, facing God with gratitude and enemies with defiance." Amen.
We are marching in the light of God. 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 We are marching, marching, we are marching.
Prayers today pick up themes from Psalm 13, another psalm of lament in which the psalmist cries out to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I trust in you and thank you that there are no circumstances of life that you do not know about, and that in all things I am more than a conqueror through Christ who loved me and gave himself for me. May I rejoice in you, Lord, at all times and in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Make my requests known to you, for I have trusted in your loving kindness, and my heart rejoices in God my Saviour. Psalm 13 begins, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" We pray, Lord, for those who feel forgotten and unseen. May they know that they are remembered and seen by you, Lord. Help us to partner with you to remember the forgotten, and search our hearts to reveal those we hide our faces from, the outcast, the stranger, or the homeless. Change our hearts that we may turn our faces towards these folks and see them as your beloved children. How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? We pray for those we know who struggle with mental illnesses, anxiety and depression, who wrestle with their thoughts. We pray for those who wrestle with sorrow, that they may know your victory over those dark thoughts which currently seem to triumph. Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I'll sleep in death, and my enemy will say, "I've overcome him," and my foes will rejoice when I fall. We pray for those who might be considered fallen by those around them. May they know your restoration and grace. Help us not to judge or exclude your beloved children, but instead lift them up in prayer and embrace them with the grace we know in Christ. We bless you for the richness of that love made known in Jesus and his resurrection, for his conquest even of the grave, and for all else that would tread us down. We proclaim together, "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." And as Jesus taught us, so we pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.